Our next guest says he wonders if being black can be bad for your health. As a black man and a doctor, he's had close-up experience looking at health outcomes when it comes to race.
From disparities faced in medical school and the doctor's office to the unique cultural, social, and economic factors behind health problems in the African-American community, his new book takes an in-depth look at the experiences of black Americans in the healthcare system.
We're joined now by Dr. Damon Tweedy, a psychiatrist at Duke University Medical Center and author of the book Black Man in a White Coat, Doctor's Reflections on Race and Medicine. Dr. Tweedy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, in the introduction of your book, you do write, being black can be bad for your health. This is something that you encountered across your career. Can you tell me more about what you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think it really kind of started for me as a first-year medical student when you're learning about all the different types of diseases, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, you know, you name the disease, basically. And professors would sort of have these two comments. They would say that the disease is more common in black people. So first they would just talk about sort of the biology and the science of it. Then they would go into the sort of the social aspects of it. And then they would say, this disease is more common in black people. And then they would follow up by saying, black people who get this disease do worse. And so it was sort of like this, it was a refrain. And what they didn't go into from there was why that was the case or what you could do about it. And so a lot of this book is really about exploring that those questions and using stories from patients that I saw along the way to really illustrate the many reasons that would work, why being black is bad for your health.
Well, this was a journey for you to go on. You started off at your time as a medical student at Duke University and some of the ambivalent feelings you had there. But what were those first years like for you?
Yeah, so, you know, medical school, so I come from a very working-class background. Parents did not go to college, and medical school was sort of it's a new thing for anyone in my family, for sure, and in my community. And so, you know, everyone who goes to medical school has certain anxieties and uncertainties about how they're going to do. It was magnified for me, given the background I came from, you know, being an African-American man, which is, you know, a very sort of an outlier in the medical field. But I was attracted to medicine by this idea that it was objective, you know, that it was sort of, you know, it was science, and it was hard, you know, there wasn't any of this sort of messiness that you see in other areas of life in terms of race. But when I got to medical school, you know, I sort of had this, rude awakening, if you will. And so it was a struggle in the very beginning.
And you had an experience early on that you write about. You were really excited into getting into some of the clinical material in your course. And the professor there saw you come into the room. And
yeah,
he walked over to you, and what happened?
Yeah, so that's like the opening chapter in the book after the introduction. So, you know, so the book really has two themes. So the first theme is just the stories about the African-American patients and the health problems they have and using real people to illustrate those. The second part of the book is really about, well, the second aspect of it is the story of what it's like to be an African-American man in medicine and the ways in which you're perceived differently. And so the challenges, the struggles you face. So in this particular case, I'm coming into the classroom about a month into the first year, starting to feel a little bit better about things. And I come back into the classroom. A professor comes up to me in a somewhat angry, irritated way, and says, "Are you here to fix the lights in the room?" And I told him no. I was sort of taken aback. I was looking at myself to see if I'd done something wrong or dressed wrong or whatever. And then he said, "Well, if you're not here for that, then why are you here in my class?" So it was really this sort of kind of a really aggressive sort of way of saying, maybe I don't belong. And that was sort of how I took it. And so the book kind of goes into how I dealt with that and all the sort of back and forth that you deal with. And so it's like medical school is hard enough on its own. And then here you are sort of dealing with this other sort of mental gymnastics to sort of deal with race and how to manage it and what do you do in this situation. So the book really illustrates some of the extra challenges, that I faced along the way.
Right, and yet it is a course of understanding over your entire career. What kinds of self-reflection did you end up doing about how black patients get treated today in the medical system and how that might be different than, say, a more privileged patient, in that case maybe someone from a higher socioeconomic class, maybe a white patient, might get treated?
Yeah, it's complicated because, you're talking about issues of class and race, and often, that sometimes you can separate it out, but often they're sort of intertwined in ways that we still are grappling with, as a country, and so it's tough. And so often the African-American patients are, the lower socioeconomic class. And there's no doubt in medicine that there's different levels of care. I mean, it's something that people don't really talk about openly, but there's no question about that. I illustrate that in the book. I use an example where I go to a clinic about 90 minutes from campus. It's a charity clinic. So here you're talking about a free clinic. Patients were all black. No one had health insurance. And the kind of care you can deliver is very different. The things that you could do at Duke as far as tests and medications that you take for granted, actually, you just can't do. And so there's no doubt the patients are getting a different level of care. And all too often these things are still, black people are still bearing the brunt of that. So that's sort of like a big system, society-wide things. And then there are other things as well that I, you know, talk about in the book as well, as far as other issues that cause different levels of care with black people.
We're talking with Dr. Damon Tweedy right now. He's the author of Black Man in a White Coat. And high blood pressure is an issue that you struggled with yourself. It was one of the early markers to you that you needed to change the way you cared for your own system, your own body. But it's also a health disease that affects a lot of African Americans. So what did you learn about that along the way, about what might need to change and how it gets treated?
Yeah, so it's one of those prototype diseases for health disparities, actually, because it's clearly more common in African Americans, and it does follow a much worse course. So African Americans who get high blood pressure are more likely to develop things like kidney disease, heart disease, stroke, all the sort of things that kind of come from it. And there's no question about that. So here's the question: is like, why is that the case? And I think, you know, there's all sorts of theories about it. So some people say there's somewhat of a biological component, and you know, there certainly could be. But what I would say to that is that, you know, genetics is not destiny. Even if that's the case, the far bigger issue in this particular case is sort of the social, cultural, socioeconomic aspect to it. And so for me personally, I was actually diagnosed with high blood pressure myself in my early 20s. And, you know, at this point, I'm young, healthy, I'm a medical student. Why is this happening to me kind of thing is what was going through my head. For me, you know, diet was a big part of it, and sort of the cultural side of it. And, you know, eating certain foods that you've kind of grown up eating and then trying to change those is very difficult. Change is hard for everyone, but when you sort of add cultural and racial layers to change, it makes it even that much more difficult. And so when you see a patient in a clinic, you know, the standard routine for high blood pressure is you give them medication, they come back. If it's still high, you give them another one or change it or increase the dose. You know, you do those sorts of things. But, you know, maybe the next question to ask the patient is about their diet and sort of leave room for the patient to ask the question, like, you know, maybe what's getting in the way of us making the progress that we need? Because in talking about an issue like that is a deeply personal one. So you need a good doctor-patient relationship to really be able to sort of uncover some of the real problems that may be getting in the way. So for me, diet has changed my blood. Diet has worked so much that I don't need medication, and my blood pressure is completely normal. And so, again, this whole idea that biology is destiny, you know, I don't believe that in the vast majority of cases. It's really the social and cultural factors are much more important.
Do you think that those conversations between doctors and their patients, really going in depth, mm-hmm. taking the time to get to know one another, is that part of the secret, do you think, to overcoming some of the racial disparities in medicine?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of barriers to that. You know, being a doctor is just hard, and there's a lot of pressure to see people in short periods of time. And I totally relate to those struggles, and I totally understand that. I think one of the things that sort of hurts black people often is that we're more likely to receive care in settings where you wouldn't know the doctor. You go to an urgent care clinic, you go to an emergency room, where things are really rushed. The doctor doesn't know you. They're more likely to make quick judgments, and that's where sort of stereotypes and bias can even come out more so. If you actually know the person, you get a relationship with the person, those things are much less likely to occur over time. And so I think it's really important. And so that's the case where African Americans are less likely to have that kind of care. And it really does work to our detriment.
Now, over the course of your career, have you noticed things about both how patients get treated differently, but also maybe how African American doctors get treated differently?
Yeah, certainly. So there's a couple cases I write about in the book where there's patients who, you know, yeah, there's one particular case where there's a guy comes in and he has chest pain. You know, middle-aged black guy has chest pain. You know, the routine thing there is to make sure he didn't have a heart attack. So then you want to give him medications and you want him to stop smoking, those sorts of things. And so the doctors discuss all what to do afterwards. But they wanted to talk about nutrition. And actually, they wanted to just give him medicine. He wanted to try and eat better and lose weight before they gave him blood pressure medicine. They really bristled at that. And I think it was really interesting because we were in a public setting, and I think the doctors really had low expectations for the patients. And so this guy was really smart, and I think it just really took them aback. And afterwards, they were sort of debating, after we left the room, you know, what kind of mental health problem he had. Like, was he obsessive compulsive? Like, how could he know this much? And it's really, and so that's, I think that's not something that would have happened in a different setting where there was a more affluent group of people you were seeing. So that's where bias can come in, for sure. Now, as a black doctor, I've experienced several cases where I talk about in the book, where particularly when I was a young doctor, where people would openly question my competence. A couple people even use. There's one case where a gentleman used racial slurs to indicate he didn't want a black doctor. I even have African American patients who were concerned about me as a black doctor. So there are all sorts of negative things that sort of spread in people's minds about what the capability of an African American man in particular. So I've certainly struggled with that.
So as we wrap up, Dr. Tweedy, what do you want your colleagues to know who aren't African Americans about what they could do to bridge that gap a little bit and change the care that they give patients?
So a couple things in the book. So for the bigger public, I think one of my goals is really educating people about these issues. So many people are just not aware of the health problems in the African American community and the ways in which they can be helpful, even if they're not in the medical field. So I think that's one big part of it. But as far as my colleagues, I think I just want people to, you know, there's this whole idea about I really just want people to sort of be able to, you need to understand the community where people come from, and you need to understand people's backgrounds, but you need to not use that as a way to sort of stereotype someone. So you need to understand the context, but then still be able to see someone as an individual. And that's, I think that's what any really good doctor is able to do. And that's what I've been trying. I teach medical students. I teach doctors that are in training, and I'm really trying to impart those lessons to them. It's not about stereotyping, but it's really about understanding people and then trying to reach them as individuals.
Dr. Tweedy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Dr. Damon Tweedy talking about the relationship between a person's race and their experience in healthcare. His new book is called Black Man in a White Coat, A Doctor's Reflection on Race and Medicine.